So what
it's
have you
It's Tuesday Monday? Afternoon, Tuesday evening. It's August 25th.
Yeah. Yep. So when they brought Lazarus forth, it was the same way how he came forth. And Lazarus came forth as a man. He came forth as a man.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think what Thomas is talking about, you know, there was concern that if Jesus were to return to Judea, then the Jews were going to kill him, you know. Nonetheless, he's saying, well, let's go anyway.
Yeah. Oh,
and so Thomas is saying,
we'll go. If he's going to die.
You're right. We'll go and we'll die with him, you know. I think that's what's going on, to the extent that I can make sense of that part of Scripture.
Yeah. So.
Anyway, let's
pray
quick. Yep. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you for your faithfulness. I ask that again that you would shine light on your word. Without the light that you shine, we really do stumble around.
Yes.
So we ask, O Jesus, that there would be, again, light from heaven on your word, that we would not use our own natural abilities, that it would be your spirit that would illuminate by your spirit. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I was thinking today that the disciples of Jesus were pretty much like we are. You know, they're pretty much like we are. And Jesus even had some names for them. You know, he called, the Hebrew word that was?
Boanerges?
Boanerges, yeah.
Yeah.
And the Sons of Thunder. It was kind of almost like a pet name. You know?
I think it was being a little funny, though, wasn't it? I don't know. Sons of
I would say it was. They wanted him to call down fire from heaven.
Right.
On a town that wouldn't receive him. And he said, I didn't come to destroy people, I came to save them.
Yeah. And after that, he called him
Sons of Thunder. And he probably called it to him more than once, you know.
Yeah.
And he told Peter, he says, after you're converted, strengthen your brother.
Which is what he did.
Yeah. I prayed for you, Peter. Satan has desired to have you, that he can sift you like wheat. He's got a desire to have as many as he can get, has he?
Yeah.
In the book of Job, he showed up. You know, the sons of God were coming together, which I don't understand. At some point, someday we will, maybe. And Satan appeared in the middle of them. And God says, asking me, what are you doing here? As if he didn't know. Or what have you been up to? Or something. What did he say? He said, I've lived here and there all over. You know? And then, so we know what he's been doing because of the question that God asked. He says, have you considered my servant Job? So we know this. We can put the story together pretty easy. That's what he's doing. He's deceiving and deceiving and deceiving and deceiving and deceiving.
God's kind of the instigator there, though, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's the one that raised Joel, you know.
If you consider by servant Job, you know what? God has a right to do it.
Oh, yeah.
He made everybody that exists, whether they like it or not. So if he wants to put us through the test, he can do it.
Yeah. Well, I have thought, you know, oxen are just mighty beasts that can drag tons and tons, you know. I imagine an ox would rather just be in the field grazing than to do that thing, pulling all, you know, those tons of weight or whatever that they are asked to pull. Oxen would rather not do that. But there's something pretty great about an oxen displaying its full strength and its capacity to be able to haul like that, you know, be able to move that huge weight. Mm-hmm. And in that same way, it's great that Job, he had the capacity to withstand that test. It's great that he had the opportunity to.
God knew that he would.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and I mean, without the test,
yeah.
What's that? You know, what's that? I mean,
just like the his son, you know, the only begotten son.
Yeah.
God knew what he would do.
Mm-hmm.
And so it seems like it's not a real fair contest or a fair situation, but it is. As far as God is concerned, it is.
Well, I'm sure Satan went, oh, goody.
Yeah.
I'm going to get this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Because now he's going to lift his protection, and I know I'm going to get him.
Get at him, right.
And mm-hmm. he found out he couldn't get him.
Yeah, he says as much.
Yeah.
So after not eating for 40 days.
Who are you talking about, Jesus?
Jesus.
Yeah, temptation.
I was talking about Job, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows how long he went through all that?
Well, maybe Satan had about the same reaction to Jesus, though, as he had with Job.
Oh, yeah.
Sure I can get this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Until Jesus started giving him some of them answers right away. And then I thought, oh, I guess I'm up against a little.
But, you know, turn these rocks into stones, I mean into bread.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good idea.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Well,
yeah, especially if you haven't eaten for 40 days.
And he knew that he could do it.
Sure.
So he had to have some.
And he could have.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Just like he said, don't you know I could call down 12 legions of angels?
Right.
So Job's wife, I mean, she must have been a good wife. But even so, it got to a point, I mean, she's had to go through the same test. And she says, Joe, why don't you just curse God and die? That reminds me of when we were hunting that time, and Leon Erickson, joined Brother Mike, he coughed and he spoke and he coughed and he smoked and he coughed and he smoked and he coughed. And 2 o'clock in the morning, he coughed so bad that nobody could sleep. And we were in tents, you know, around him, and he coughed, and he's like, he's not going to live anymore than that. Then he started all over again. And so finally Leon, in the middle of the night, you know, we're awake. You can't sleep. We're awake, and also the deep voice comes out of the dark and says, die, why don't you? Why don't you just die? And even they were friends. Him and Mike were friends. But so then we laughed. And we laughed. And well. Mike even had to laugh.
Start cutting into pre-dawn hunting sleep time. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I noticed something in John 11:16. and it's just weird. But in the King James, it says, unto his fellow disciples, all one word. And I thought, well, that's just a typo of space. So then I went to my translation app, and it lists it again as fellow disciples, one word, not two words. And it's the only translation, even the New King James doesn't do that. But they, King James kind of created a
word
for
there,
people,
huh?
Fellow disciples.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, no, that is just really totally not worth a whole lot, just weird.
Well, it is.
That's only in the...
only in the King James.
Original King James.
Yeah, the New King James has a space, which I thought was also interesting, kind of like they went through there and go, yeah, what are we doing here?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I did see, you know, some of the other translations had, fellow hyphen disciples in American Standard. English Revises hyphenated. So a lot of them, you know, it's just a very interesting, I was surprised to see a typo, misspace. And it looked like it wasn't a mistake. So I'm like, okay.
I don't know if there's any real big significance.
I don't either. It just caught my eye.
Well,
I went, okay.
The language has changed over.
Yeah. And he's talking. It sounds like he's talking to the other 11, you know.
All right.
So.
You know, it's a funny thing that the King James is a hard Bible to read. It's hard for a lot of people. And yet, like when the Wonder Bible came out and a lot of other translations that are sent all over the world, the most popular one was the King James.
Mm-hmm.
The Wonder Bible is basically King James.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so, I
can tell you as a newborn Christian, what I liked about the King James translation, it sounded godly.
Yeah.
It sounded like that's the way they talked, God talked. I mean, it wasn't like I was talking to someone else.
Yeah.
It said, oh, this is a religious conversation.
It didn't strike me that way.
It did not strike you that way?
No.
Joanna was like Alexander Scorby. Because he sounded just like God.
Yeah, well.
Ken doesn't like Alexander Scorby either.
No, I know. I mean, not that I did.
Right.
You know where he's
yeah.
But I'll say that as we've gone along, it's been really helpful for me to get away from the these and some of the words and supper and what's the one that I'm kind of surprised is they use the King James will sometimes use a different word for love, you know, or something. It's and to me has a totally different. Well, not totally different, but it's a different thing.
Yeah, it is. That's
and at least to the way I use and comprehend it. So it's been helpful to me to be able to look at multiple translations occasionally because I'll read the King James and go, oh, okay. Then I read something else and go, oh, okay. I think I got it now. And between the two, I feel I really have a much better. But when I was first trying to change my life and become more interested in doing God-like things, King James seemed to appeal to me because that wasn't the way I was talking.
I like King James. I hear a different one, and if you grew up in church, you probably heard the King James, and when you hear the 23rd Psalm or something, it's a different choice of words, and it doesn't sound right. Now, that's there's no very good spiritual reason for that, I don't think. But
yeah, it kind of depends on what church you grew up in.
I suppose it
I didn't hear the King James much at all
oh,
in my Catholic church.
Well, I was at the Presbyterian Church, and it was the...
I'm sure the Lutheran Church was King James, wasn't it, Pete?
I think so.
Imagine it was. One thing about the King James, for these other translations, they have to pay a royalty to whoever it was that translated it. And they don't have to do that with King James, so that's one reason why it's popular.
Doesn't
cost anything to print.
Yeah, right.
Even the new King James, I think, is they have to pay a royalty.
Oh, really?
Yeah. To whoever. Yeah.
That's my guy.
Yeah.
I was NIV for a long time, way back when, and then when we started, there was just. Well, yeah, then when we started seeing the you know, as a man and stuff, and it's like, yeah, I don't care, because I had a Thompson Chain NIV, so that one for sure.
Oh.
I had a Thompson Chain for you. I had three or four of them.
Yeah.
And one day I said, that's enough. Frank Thompson, got Trinity out of everything that he could find.
Yeah.
So the footnotes, which are, you know, are in there, and they think that you're going to regain them. You don't gain anything.
Maybe.
A little bending going on there and there.
I wonder, initially though, didn't Thompson do his chain in the King James also?
I believe he did.
Yeah.
So the NIV one would be a real newer
one. I think it probably started with the King James.
I think it did.
Thompson Chain, and then when I found out, oh, there's a new King James, and I started reading, I went, yes. For the most part, it's pretty close to the,
Yeah.
Some that you do find a variation on some things, but.
And the way this is different make me feel go,
So the thing that surprised me was, I think it's John 4:24 in that King James and in the New King James,
yeah,
where it says God is spirit.
Right.
And I think it says God is spirit in the New King James.
It does.
And God is that spirit in the other one. Uh-huh. And usually he says exactly what the King James says. It's a transliteration.
Well, the translators have to somehow make some decisions on how.
And you know what? In the King James, the New King James, there's no footnote like there was in the Geneva Bible.
Oh, on that issue.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's no.
Yeah.
It's just there.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Well, this Geneva Bible, it's full of footnotes.
Yes.
Which
kind of... many footnotes as there is Bible.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I have footnotes, but it's not that many. It's just tiny ones at the bottom of the page. And it's mostly all just usually referring to different manuscripts.
Oh, which I guess is, you know, a good...
Yeah. Sometimes that's useful.
It is. There's a couple things that made it just... I thought, well, yeah, this had a little more insight, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, on some of the touchier things about doctrine, you know.
Every single other translation in this eight translation thing has God is spirit. Every single one.
Which tells us that it was not in any, or probably not in any of the manuscripts. The word ah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I would say that had one of the most major effects on me of any scripture that I read. Because what it did, it made God exclusive. The word A in there, mean that that's that one up.
Yeah, there'll be some others too.
Sure.
It says that God is spirit. Now we got a different, picture.
Yeah. I tell you that super come from the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I was just reading along, you know, and I probably had heard it, and all of a sudden I went, and I wrote it in there too. Not A. When I, you know, after I saw it, and I went, and then it just, like, for, then, like, Revelation came on it, like, this really is something, because God is spirit. And then all of a sudden it just put a different slant on everything, you know.
Yes, it did.
It took away trying to form him or whatever.
Well,
yeah. You know, make him some being that you can see or whatever.
If you take John 17:3, where it says that this is eternal life, you know, that they would know you, the only true God. God is spirit. The only true God. There is no other one like him.
Right. Yeah.
He's not one of many.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And so about 2 o'clock in the morning, I don't even know what time it was, but way back when, that it just hit me. It really hit me. And I had an experience in the Lord that I don't know that I've ever had anything like it. Mm. And I just, in my spirit, somewhere inside of me, I knew that he was exclusive. He was mighty. He was awesome. And everything was his idea. And just something happened. So when it says eternal life is to know the only true God, he became the only true God.
And Jesus Christ. And his Jesus Christ, his Son.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
So
Jesus, yeah.
Slowly began to become a man.
Yeah, right.
It took a while, but I started to see it. No wonder that's what Brad Vezala was so excited about.
Yeah, it's too bad he didn't get a little better audience from us on that, but, well.
You know, he did what he was called to do.
Yeah, okay.
And,
like John Baptist, huh?
And he has written several books on it.
Oh, yes? Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
But
we were pretty steeped in submission at the time, and he was preaching against the pastor, and so
yes.
It was, I mean, we were all falling into place like we should have, even though we were struggling with, well.
You know what? That's what set me free from all of that.
Oh, I know. Yeah, it did. Which is,
anyway, I hear this guy. This is like truth, and it didn't come from Don Barnett. You know.
No,
I was merely puzzled by it.
I didn't know that it was truth because it didn't. It didn't come from Don Barnett.
I just scratched my head over it. I didn't, you know. I wasn't real negative about it necessarily. Yeah. I don't know. But it's been since then that I've had the revelation. You know, it wasn't back in those days. It was.
Well, I just got a little glimpse, you know.
Yeah.
But it just seemed to, it made so much sense.
Yeah.
And that was without seeing any other scriptures or anything. You know? Because I can't remember which scriptures he used, if he did, or anything, you know.
I'm not proud to say all this, but I met Don Burnett. I was the first one to ever meet him. And he was at the Des Moines Assembly of God. He was teaching their main Bible study. And the Bible study was the unfolding revelation of God. And that he had been preaching for, or teaching for, almost 2 years before they realized he didn't believe in Trinity. And so they finally asked him to leave. And I remember the time that when he had to leave. And so what we had then is we started asking him to have a Bible study in our home. And that's how he met Scott Hartley and Jack Hicks and some of these other guys. We had Bible study right in our home in Des Moines. And we had a pretty good sized living room. And him and Scott Hartley got in the biggest argument one night over the Trinity. Because Scott really thought the Trinity was great. You know. And, but he got filled with the Holy Spirit. And he was convinced the Trinity was right and done for this. On what foundation? And I remember we went around and around and around and around.
And really, the best argument is, well, Jesus is not a God. He's a man. And which was not an argument available to Don Barnett.
I introduced him to Mike Saber and Tom Elbers, and a lot of these guys that I, from the Lutheran Day Fellowship. I don't remember how that started.
As I recall the story, Barbara Barnett was with Welcome Wagon, and she came and saw Joanne.
Yeah.
And
the rest is history.
Yeah.
But there's a definitely a message or a warning in that. You have to be open to the revelation of God coming from anywhere. I mean, God could be using someone, and their whole purpose is just to say this one thing to this one person. Mm-hmm. And if everybody's paying attention, it sets people free.
Yeah. Yeah, without Brad Bedlaw having raised the idea, I don't know. Well, I mean, God could do anything anyway, you know, but it was that method that I guess was used for.
Well, I tell you what happened to me. And I don't even, we ran into that scripture in 1 Timothy, 2, 4, and 5, that we got up in the church. And we ran into that, and Curtis started looking it up. And I started to get some questions in my mind. You looked it up in here, and all the translations said the same thing. And I thought, that's strange. The man, Jesus Christ. You know, there's one mediator, the man. And It put a lot of questions in my mind. So, I mean, I haven't had the revelation for a long, long, many, many moons. But one day it started to come. And I realized that he never was God. It said he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he took upon himself. No, and so it's almost like he had a choice. But he never did, because he was the Son of Man. He never really had a choice.
Well, I wonder if that scripture can't be understood to mean he was full of God. And so it's not robbery to be.
There was one translation that presented that I went, it made that make a lot more sense. Because we went through them, and I remember, and don't you remember?
I do kind of remember, but I don't remember the specifics. What is Hebrews, where does it say he thought it was not robbery to be thought equal to God?
Hebrews, was it 4 or 2?
Yeah. I'm not sure. Looking,
a man with a memory is at the mercy of a man with a smartphone.
Yeah. Well, you kind of have to be a little more specific. But it's not robbery.
It's in the King James, I know that.
Well, you are going out there. Philippians 2:6.
Philippians.
Yeah.
Well, shows how much I know.
Well, it's why it's well we were grasping a little bit. Philippians. What do you mean? We haven't been in Philippians a lot. Yeah.
Considering our robbery to be equal, yeah, you're right.
Well,
let me say in my defense that Keith didn't disagree with me.
Well, he did make a comment. Don't you know it's Hebrews?
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, but then he followed up with he knew it was King James, so I think it was pretty wide open. We might be giving a little too much.
I knew it was King James. Anyway, in NIV it says, "Did not consider equality with God something to be grasped." New International Version is, "Did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage." Maybe that was the one.
That could be it. Yeah.
Well, use something.
But it's talking about, he wasn't actually saying he was equal with God in those translations. He's saying, well, how is it saying?
It says, who, being in very nature God. I wonder.
You know what? He was in nature like God.
Yeah.
Because the Word of God was made flesh. So he did become the nature of God.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a, let's see. Or in the form of God is the footnote on this, as opposed to being in very nature.
Yeah.
And as far as I'm concerned, those have two different meanings.
Yeah.
In the form of God, in the very nature of God. But.
Well, we've looked at this. I mean, a lot of different adjectives used here. The NIV says to be used to his advantage. The New Living Translation says something to cling to.
But how does the first part of it read?
Oh, well, sure. Who being in NIV, who being the very nature, who being in very nature God, there's missing a word there, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage.
Yeah.
So then it's saying it's implying he was equal to God.
Being in very nature God, yeah.
Or they like God.
Yeah, a couple of these imply that.
New Living Translation said, though he was God.
Yeah.
Which is not, that's not right.
No, that isn't right.
I mean, that's not a correct translation, you know, based on the other one.
I like this in the King James.
Who, being in the form of God, which...
Just because I like it, oh man, that's right.
Well, I think that is the correct translation, though.
And being followed in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I like that. Being followed in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
This is a highly subjective translated verse, depending on what you were. The contemporary English version says, Christ was truly God, but he did not try to remain equal with God.
That makes all sorts of sense, doesn't it?
It's like he was God, but he knew he wasn't not God.
But he was, right.
Yeah, it was God 1B. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
most of them kind of hover around he was in the form of God.
Which is, I think, that's what the Greek is.
Yes. I mean, I think, you know, yeah.
In the form of God, which...
But God has a form.
Well, a little problem there and there. But
only if you think God's a spirit.
You know what's interesting?
Only if God's spirit, which we just pointed out.
Yeah.
Yes, sir, Ken.
Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, comma, not period, who, being in the form of God, did not so... Where does that put us?
This mind be in you, which was also in
Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
That if we feel we're in the form of God, we would do the same thing as him.
I think that the instruction is to follow Jesus' lead here.
Yeah. Don't think you're God or whatever. I mean,
Right.
It gives a lot of stuff after, you know. Made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. That's what the New King James says.
You know, when you're the Son of God, you are different
yeah.
than the rest of us.
I mean, you have some, would you say, different genes or something?
That's right, yeah, your DNA is a...
different DNA.
Well, it's a kind of a unique birthright.
Yeah.
So, and you know, that, and I kind of don't like to use these illustrations, but back then, you know, the when a son became a certain age, he became equal with the father. His father, as far as authority and everything, as far as you know,
he could be able to do business.
He could use the ring and
do
yeah.
whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, put the stamp. You know.
Yeah.
And
okay. You guys are smart. I got a question for you. In the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean.
It means everything bows to
him. He's under the earth?
Including the earthworms.
Just because you don't know what under the earth is doesn't mean they still don't bow.
Yeah. I suppose there must be some reference to hell, huh? Or the Gehenna or what, hey, you know.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to throw this in here. It's kind of maybe a little way off, but I never saw this. As we always, of course, that's because I've been listening to just a certain part of Matthew and Mark. But it gives the thing about the woman that had seven husbands.
Mm, yeah.
And then they say, whose husband is she going to be in the resurrection?
Yeah, right.
And in there it just says, Jesus says, well, you don't know that there is no marriage. You'll be like the angels. But in Luke, it really goes into some depth. And it's Jesus speaking. Jesus answered and said to them, the sons of this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are counted worthy to attain that age and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, nor can they die anymore, for they are equal to the angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. I never saw that.
Yeah.
I've never stumbled across it in Luke like I did in Matthew or Mark or whatever. I don't know which one it's in. Mark, it gives a pretty, the one that I was talking about. But isn't that something?
Equal to the angels. That's an interesting thing.
That caught my ear too. But now, I thought, because we spent some time on less than the angels and yet greater
than
the angels.
In Hebrews it talks about little lower than the angels.
So equal to the angels was just kind of that stuck out. Like, okay.
Yeah, me too.
Right.
That's what caught my eye on that.
And then I think elsewhere, doesn't it say that the angels will look up to us?
Yeah.
The angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to the heirs of salvation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's funny to call them equal to the angels.
Well,
maybe equal isn't a great translation. Maybe it's more like in the same category as
angels. Read it in some of your other.
Yeah,
where are you in Luke?
It's Luke 20:36.
Luke 20:36.
But what got me was I was listening, and I told Keith about this afternoon, but after I went and found it and read it, I was listening, and it was talking about when Jesus said, how can they say that the Christ is the son of David? Now, David himself said in the book of Psalms, okay,
yeah,
the Lord, well, in Mark, it says, and David said, by the Holy Spirit, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand.
Yeah.
And that just, it grabbed me, but then I thought it had like a whole bunch of more meaning to it, but when I went and read it, it wasn't there necessarily.
I guess it's the anointed word of God. I mean, because it was part of the Psalms.
So then it made sense that David would say that he's, because the Holy Spirit gave it to him, you know, that he would be, there would be a Lord that they're going to call him the Son of David, but he's going to be my Lord, you know.
Yeah.
Most of the translations say, for they cannot die anymore, for they are like the angels.
Yeah, it's like
is used instead of equal to in the...
I don't know if I want to buy it. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, you know...
Well,
I'm just answering the question.
It's
I'm
a little weird.
Judgment there.
Yeah.
Well,
we struggle with that because of other scripture. Go ahead.
Doesn't it seem from the scriptures that when Jesus ascended on that, you know, into heaven, that he was a man. And the angel said, as you see him go, he's going to come back the same way.
Right.
Yeah.
And it says in the 1 John, the 3rd chapter, you know, it says that when we see him, we will be like he is. So whatever he is. For we will see him as he is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he had been glorified before he ascended. Remember he told that woman, somebody said, don't touch me.
Mm-hmm.
And after that he says, touch me.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Thomas, put your fingers in my wounds.
Yeah, the right. Reference to...
Well, when are you saying he was glorified then?
Well, I'm saying that whatever it was that happened to him...
Somewhere in there, huh?
Happened to him in the first few days. He said, don't touch me because I have not been glorified. Something.
That's where he said... That's when he said, I have not been glorified, didn't he?
I think so,
yeah.
Yeah.
What is odd?
So that might mean my fullness hasn't come along yet, so I don't touch me and contaminate.
So when he was on the road to Emmaus with his two disciples, or when he was by the seaside and they had the fish and so forth, had that all taken place? That's what I'm wondering. He was in a glorified state at that point.
And then he refers all the time, I mean, 3-4 times at least in Revelations. And when you see the Son of Man coming, you know, it's all Son of Man, Son of Man, Son of Man.
Will the Son of Man find faith on earth when he comes back, when he returns?
So I'm looking for... Do not touch me, for I am. Came back with the two they were talking about. John 20:17. Jesus saith unto her, do not touch me, for I am not yet ascended to the Father. Yet ascended.
Oh.
And Luke 24:39. you can see that is really neat. Touch me and make sure that I am not a ghost. So,
that's
Thomas. That didn't come back as for where Thomas.
But in John, it
said not yet ascended.
So that's John what?
2017, and I don't know which translation.
Maybe the.
2017 ascended twice. Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren.
Well, where does it say?
Tell them.
Because I'm not yet glorified.
I don't know. I just.
Oh, well, it does say that. I think I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I'm gonna send you my God and your God, and for my God and your God. And there's another God. I love that. That's a good scripture, isn't it?
Yeah. My Father and your Father, my God and your God.
Right.
I don't raise your flesh water, Corky.
I have not yet ascended to me.
I just saw somebody over there sleeping.
Uh-huh. All right. Glorified. Oh, Charlie, how's that spelled? GOLORIFIED.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there is. I know I've read that.
Certainly a sentence.
I'm looking. See if I.
Yeah.
Like
maybe we just
word.
Had that mistaken idea in our head. Well, I'm a little puzzled by why he would tell them, don't cling to me, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father.
Yeah, which implies when he goes, after the 40 days or whatever, yeah. When he goes up to greet.
Go ahead and cling.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
By that, it's a little
late. Then he tells him to touch him.
Well, yeah, that's.
It's interesting.
Well, in one of the translations, it says, stop clinging to me, isn't it?
Yes, do not cling to me.
It just says, do not cling in mine. It doesn't say, do not
cling. Well, I thought it said that one, though. Stop clinging to me.
NIV is, do not hold on to me. Don't hold on to me.
I don't even know where to begin to look to where he would have said, I have not yet been glorified.
I think we just made a mistake.
I don't know. It could be in one of the little stories right before.
Remind me to get back to this.
John 7:39, maybe.
Did you guys hear the tornado last night?
No. Tornado?
Yeah.
Heard the rain.
What, two this morning?
John 7:39?
7:39.
The weather got worse.
Really?
Are you being funny or what?
No.
I didn't hear them talk about it on the weather.
Scared the crap out of me.
As yet the Spirit has not been given because Jesus was not yet glorified.
There it is. I knew I read it somewhere.
Yeah, John 7:39.
Yep.
That.
But if I had confidence in anything, I was so confident that Jesus told Mary, don't cling to me because I'm not yet glorified.
It does say something like that.
Yeah, it turns out it's ascended to, because I'm not yet ascended to my Father.
But where was it? Because he did say something to Mary not to touch him. And maybe we're saying glorify, but it's like I'm not yet complete or finished or something.
Well, I'm not yet ascended to the Father. Yeah.
That's the point.
I have not yet ascended to my Father, your Father, and my God, your God.
Yeah. But yeah, this is, you're right though, Corky. He's speaking regarding the Spirit, whom they believe would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified.
Right. Now, it's interesting because they had this, he gave them the spirit to go out. Remember the one time? And but so there's something about the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You can see, that makes sense. People, I think a lot of people, because they've had an experience where they knew they were prompted by the Holy Spirit, assume then that they have the gift of the Holy Spirit.
I think you can be anointed for a task.
Yes.
Without being right. filled with
the Holy Spirit. I mean, because that's kind of the way it was in the Old Testament all the time.
Yeah, right.
More or less.
Uh-huh. Sure.
But doesn't this speak of something maybe a little different? The Spirit has not been given because Jesus is not yet glorified.
That's kind of what I'm saying.
I was tracking that, but I was kind of branching off a little bit too. Like there's implying to me, or I'm speculating, that the expression of glorified is beyond just having the Spirit, or the, it requires something. It's kind of akin to saying you're in the fullness of God and glorified, not just having the Spirit or being led by the Spirit to do a task, but to be, I mean, you're glorified. I mean, it implies a bigger thing.
Yeah, but he's not referring to the disciples being glorified. It's just the fact that they haven't received the Holy Spirit.
But I think Corky's point, I think it makes sense.
What?
There's a fullness that has occurred with Jesus, and therefore there's some kind of equivalent kind of fullness that will be true of the disciples or those who have received the Holy Spirit. Is that?
Well, I'm not sure what I'm saying. I'm just, if this is inferring the Spirit has not yet been given from God to the disciples, and says, and the reason it wasn't given was because Jesus was not yet glorified. That's okay. Then what that says, that Jesus didn't have the ability to do something at this point. Yet this is way after God said, "This is my Son, whom I'm well pleased," and then begins to minister with the fullness of God. And so at some point later, it comes back and says, but the Spirit hasn't been given. And you go, well, it was given to God, because it was a rather public display. I mean, that was done in a way for the non-believers to believe. And so then farther down the ministry, it's saying, well, he couldn't do this yet because God hadn't been glorified, which, you know, we've always... And maybe it's just because of the way I was raised as a little child. God, Christ isn't glorified until he's resurrected. You know, so I'm not saying scriptural points at all. That's just the way I've always thought it worked. So is this saying the Spirit is not yet given because Christ has not been resurrected? Or is this saying, you know, or are we just putting way too much emphasis on the word glorified because of how we tend to think of it?
Well, glorified is a pretty big deal.
If he had been ascended, he could have said that. Or, you know, he said he chose glorified there.
Yeah, so it just...
Doesn't it say that on the Mount of Transfiguration?
Yeah, they were glorified.
They were glorified?
Right. Yeah.
What did it say?
At the
Mount of Transfiguration.
I think all that light emanating from him was...
In a way, one could say the Transfiguration was the act of glorifying.
Yeah.
I mean, that's because when they...
You know, there's different levels of glorified.
Well, That's kind of what I'm throwing out there.
It's when Jesus is going back and forth there, and he says, where is it? I remember reading, because he said, "I glorify me if you are glorified, you know.
There in John 17, maybe?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, before I found this one, glorified is all, yeah. Glorifying the Father glorified in me. There's a lot of, that was, to me, that's the whole point of the fullness of God.
There is a notation in mine that one script leaves off holy, just says spirit. Believing in him would receive the spirit, for the spirit was not yet given. But
so, you know, the things that happened in the book of Acts, that was a remarkable outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. All that, and the way that it spread, like the way Christianity spread at that, you know, and I think that wasn't going to happen until Jesus had been glorified.
Yeah.
You know, there was, and it took that would have been a mighty, mighty move of the Holy Spirit, all the things that were going on in the book of Acts. There with Peter
and
the
Lord. And he says, until I go away.
That didn't happen.
He says, you will do greater things because I go away. So.
Yeah. I think that's,
so then when
I think
he
that's
says,
what's going on
don't
here.
Don't touch me. I have not yet gone away. Ascended to my Father.
Well, maybe.
you know, I don't know if that ties that in at all or what. But
well. And it's all fine, and it's just what he says to Thomas in the upper room after coming through the closed door. There's all these things like, oh, by the way, here's a big deal happening, and he says to him, touch me, you know, which is, because at one point he says no, and then later he says, please do, or, you know, so it's just.
You know, it's interesting that the part about the whole Holy Spirit is being told by Luke, no, John, or whoever.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, it ends at, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And it says, but this he spoke concerning the Spirit.
Yeah.
I don't know if that has anything to do with it either, but.
Well, it is prophetic in a way. I believe.
Yeah. I mean, when he said those things, it says that when the crowd, when they heard this saying, truly, therefore many from the crowd, when they heard this saying, said, truly, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, will the Christ come out of Galilee?
That doesn't line up with my pre-thinking.
Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the seed of David, which later on he says, addresses that, you know. You know, that's always kind of puzzled me a little. It's, well, the Spirit can be given a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
And in different strengths, you would say, or whatever it seems?
I think an abiding spirit is what is received when you're filled with the Spirit, have the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
It's
and I think
capacity to speak in tongues whenever you choose to speak in tongues.
Right. And I think that's what opens the door to the Comforter to come and
yes.
the Spirit of Truth to come.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yes.
And another way, the Spirit can be goading you, like the Spirit was goading Keith about baptism, and did not let go.
Yeah,
and so yeah, you know, and you catch me, Kim, because I go, you know, well, God can do anything, and then you know, we have free will, and you go, well, oftentimes God kind of preempted free will because he was doing God things, you know. I mean, he hardened Pharaoh's heart. He said, I will make them. So I'm assuming, to make it all fit, he kind of led them down the path that they decided to do what he wanted them to do, you know, or whatever.
You know, and I just, now when you said that, I thought, well, He hardened them, but he probably presented things to Pharaoh, which Pharaoh made a decision.
Right.
Of course, God knew he was going to make it, but
yeah.
but he had free will still.
He used his will to do
they,
what the Father
yeah.
wanted him to do.
Yeah.
And they describe it as God hardened his heart.
I think God can make it so to where you can't make any other decision. Too, you know, I mean,
yes,
create circumstances that.
Well, yeah.
That just.
The word you're looking for there is God manipulates the situation to the form He wants.
Right.
But He lets you do it of your own free will.
Yeah.
I tell you, the stuff that Pharaoh was doing was real irrational.
Yeah.
And it just didn't make sense. But
well, what, like what? I mean.
Terrible things were going on in Egypt. Let, you know, hey, solve this problem and let these people go do whatever they want to do. That would be make a whole lot more sense rather than undergo the continuing plagues.
Oh, yeah, but see, he just didn't want to lose his control.
Well, but
he was in control. Being king, you're whatever. You're a control freak. You want everybody doing exactly what you want.
Yeah, I guess so. but he was continuing that even after the death angel had come and killed all the firstborn. Yeah, he was. Well, he was irrationally stubborn, I would argue. But
well,
I mean,
probably yes,
yeah.
Irrationally stubborn.
Yeah,
didn't want to lose that slave labor.
Oh, well, apparently not. Yeah.
Hmm. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. It's all proof that we are not going to figure this thing out.
Right.
You know, in the we aren't going to figure it out. That's not to say that we aren't going to be granted many wonderful insights. We've had that experience.
But it says, you know, when we go to heaven, we will know as we are known. So we're going to know a lot of the things. Maybe we'll know all things.
I think we'll know all things.
I don't know.
I think that's who God is.
We'll know enough.
Right now I don't see.
Well, you'll know enough to get there, and then your reward is to know it all. Maybe. I don't know if you can say you know all of what God knows necessarily, because that's probably impossible.
Yeah.
Well. You certainly can't do it in our current state.
No.
And how we change, you know, and maybe it's just my upbringing, my vision of heaven has kind of always been, once I get there, all these other things just kind of meld away. The presence of God is so powerful, so wonderful. These things like, so what did you mean when you're back here in Luke? I don't know that even comes into our feeble minds. I mean, the presence and the glory of God.
Here's the thing. Your mind is not going to be feeble anymore either.
That's right.
Well,
I mean, if you look at Jesus. So he obviously was doing tremendous things on earth. Always heard what his Father was saying.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't glorified yet.
Yeah.
Glorified, now he knows just about, he knows every single one of us. He knows our thoughts. That's pretty close to God, you know.
Well.
And God gave him that, you know, that's what God gave him.
There's
his reward, you know.
A scripture that I've known for a long time. It's John 5:26. And it says, as the Father has life in himself, so he has given.
Have you ever said that before?
Yeah, that's all right. Say it again. I like that.
To have life in himself. What exactly does that mean?
Just what we're talking about.
Right.
When you say yes.
Well, you know, if you got life in yourself, you can do everything that God's been doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What does it say in some other translation? John 5:26. I've never looked it up.
Let's see, John 5:26.
Yeah. Obviously, we can't totally know what heaven's going to be like.
Yeah.
The incredible thing is, we know it's so far beyond here, and yet why do we ding around here doing what we do?
Yeah, I know.
You know what?
There is that. There's a veil or something between us and, you know, the natural man is. Let's see. 4, as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. Same thing. That's in the NIV. And so he has granted. There's no variation.
Oh,
same.
Yeah, it's pretty much.
Yeah.
So, what exactly does that mean?
Tell us.
Yeah, as the Father has life in himself?
Well, whatever the Father has in the way of, if you call that thing life,
it looks like
it's the same thing that Jesus has. So,
but it doesn't mean the Son was born with it.
No.
No.
It was given to him.
It was given to him.
Right. Right.
See, that's one of the major things when you're to get the Godhead picture.
Right.
You know, it's like whatever Jesus was, God made. Whoever he was, God made to be that. Let the house of Israel know assuredly. God has made this Jesus that you crucified, both Lord and Christ. God made you Lord and Christ.
Yeah.
There's a King James, a New King James difference. It's interesting. The New King James, so he has granted to the Son to have life in himself. And the King James says, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. One is granted and one is given.
Yeah.
Not that I think about it that they're that different.
Yeah.
But granted kind of implies you've earned an earning. You know, given just kind of implies a gift. So granted, to me, implies more of an achievement, but that's me trying to put a natural spin on it.
Yeah.
It is. I think it does suggest you have placed this, like, mantle or something.
Bestowed or whatever. Granted,
yes.
Bestowed.
Yes.
Which is maybe more significant than given.
Yes.
Oh, mm-hmm. I gave you my leftovers.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, versus or, I bestowed this ability on
mm-hmm.
granted.
Maybe granted is the better word.
Well, more prestigious or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, more of an earned thing or whatever.
Uh-huh.
So it was just.
We're talking about heaven and whether, you know. I'm of the view a little bit that it's not going to make much difference. You know, working out some scriptures that might have puzzled us. I could be wrong, I suppose. They're in 1 Corinthians 13, though. It says, now we see through a glass darkly, then face to face. Now I know, in part, but I shall know even as I am known. I think a lot of our struggles are that in part stuff.
I mean, don't
but you maybe you'd want the answer to them.
Don't you think God wants you to know it all? To know all those things?
I
don't know.
I guess if they are important at that time. You know, the Bible is something that is to assist us to know him now.
You know, if the heart is right, and if you really want the truth, he'll make sure you get it.
Yeah.
That's right.
I mean, if you desire it, you were talking, Charlie, I'm thinking, so what really is the purpose of the Word of God? What's the real purpose?
And if the heart is
wrong, I think it's to find everlasting life.
You won't make it anyway.
Not to have understanding of God, it's to have eternal life.
Yeah.
If that's what
it is. And then once you've gotten it.
And then once you got it, has it been? But to Ken's point, and when you're in the glory of God, what isn't going to be revealed? Okay. You know, I don't know if you could
maybe
go
the
up,
important things.
I don't know if you go up with your 20 questions or, you know, this really, you know, this thing here, this bug me. You know? And you go, oh, yeah, that was one of the ace busters. The wise and the prudent can't figure it out. So, yeah. You know, I knew it. I don't know if it goes like that or it's like.
Yeah, it's hard to say. Because I was just thinking, yeah, then you go to Revelation and look at the new city, Jerusalem, and the light. And, but it's it sounds like there's natural kind of things going on.
Yeah.
You
well,
know?
But it's
except
got to convey
it's illuminated
by
God through Jesus Christ.
You still need some light, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Right. It does pose an interesting question about what the status of the Bible will be in heaven.
Yeah, I never heard that asked before. That was a good question.
Yeah, I wonder.
Now I don't know if I wanted to hear it, though. Now I don't want to think about it.
Well, just never mind.
That one in the back shelf.
And there may be a lot more chapters in heaven.
Well,
that could be.
What more will be revealed?
Those are in the Roman Catholic Church.
Those are. Some of them were never revealed. Yeah.
Oh, what did John say? These are granted. I mean, there's a whole lot more.
Yes.
But this is so that you'll have access to eternal life or whatever.
Yeah.
So, and once you're there with eternal life.
Who knows?
Then I don't care.
I bet we still appreciate the Bible.
Yeah, I don't care is always such a harsh phrase, but I do think you become. I can only imagine. I think of the song. I can only imagine, and goes through. Will I be dancing for joy, or will I just be standing still, in awe? And those are two. Very realistic things, like you can't contain yourself to, like, I can't move, I'm just in awe.
But here's an interesting fact. If the Word of God is in the Bible, is the Bible, by the Spirit, what does it say? My Word is for eternity.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fair enough.
You know, that just happened to pop in there.
Yeah, so there will be some purpose, eternal purpose, even in heaven.
I think, otherwise,
it makes sense.
It doesn't go away. It's all
right.
Mm.
It's always there.
So
imagine the glorious revelations that we'll have when we're in heaven.
Yeah,
if it's still, you know.
And it might be that it doesn't go away for eternity because it'll all be revealed to you, and you'll have it for eternity.
There's something so wonderful about having the light of heaven illuminate things that we were in the dark about.
Yeah.
That is such a, and maybe that will just keep on in heaven. There'll be that illumination of particular things.
And maybe our minds will be equipped to handle more.
Yeah.
Well, to have the mind of Christ.
Yeah.
And to have the mind of Christ and what it and the mind of Christ with the fullness of God. Woo. Pretty big deal. Pretty big deal.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
And now we just blow up.
Yeah.
Well,
exactly. Yeah, right. Yeah. Overload.
Exactly.
Circuits. Breakers flip.
So anyways.
Yeah.
Right.
You gotta get
Chuck
to bed.
Yeah.
I don't know that he needs to go to bed. He's been sleeping just fine without going to bed.
Oh, we love you all.